Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 3. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? First Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the hope of the resurrection. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we've felt in this service. I thank you that I feel Jesus Christ has been magnified and glorified. And now I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to anoint me to preach your word. Lord, let me be your mouthpiece today to speak to your people. Lord, let me exalt Jesus Christ in everything that's said and done. And Father, bless your people today. And Lord, should there be any under the sound of my voice who are weighed down with sin, Lord, I pray today that we'll show forth Christ in such a crystal clear way that they would see Jesus is their answer. And specifically what he did for them on the cross is the only way anyone can ever be set free from sin. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, there was a weather system that moved over South Africa, and in specifically the nation of Zimbabwe, where it rained in monsoon-like fashion for days on end at times. And the rain caused the rivers to flood. It caused flash floods. It caused the makeshift dams that surrounded so many of the small villages to break, and entire villages of people were wiped out. It was during one of these times when one of the dams of a small village had broke just outside of a small town in Zimbabwe that missionaries were there working to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they prayed that the dam would hold, that the rain would stop, but it did not. And a flash flood came upon the small village. And it washed the people, many of them alive, holding on to their children, into the river. Many of them screaming and crying out to God as the missionaries had almost evangelized and won to Jesus Christ this entire village. And as the river was rushing and they couldn't fight against the onslaught of the water, they were swept into a thicket of trees, of all things, where they could grab and hold on. And they held for hours that evening. And they began to pray and cry out to God, "Help us, Lord, help us, Lord." Now, can you imagine that? Hanging on by just a few branches in a raging river, knowing that if you let go, you yourself could drown, or even worse, if you're holding on to tiny children which are clinging to you for life, your very children could drown. And they kept crying out to God, "Lord, help us, Lord, help us." Finally, as darkness fell, there was heard through the thick black darkness and raging river, a message in an unknown tongue came forth. And immediately after the message in tongue, the gift of interpretation came. And they told the people, "Hold on. I am your God, and I will rescue you." In other words, he gave through the message, the Holy Spirit, through the gift of tongues and interpretation, gave hope to those people that were holding on with everything they had. But strangely enough, about 2 hours later, as they put their faith in what they believed that the Holy Spirit had spoken to them, the river did not subside. And they kept holding, and their bodies were getting weary, and they were getting tired, many of them to the point it was getting to the wee hours of the morning, and they were about to fall asleep. When all of a sudden, a thicket of African mosquitoes, whose bite is not lethal, but it stings terribly, swarmed down upon them and began to sting them. And they began to cry out all the more, saying to one another, encouraging one another, the Lord told us He would save us. And sometimes it's hard to understand why God does things the way He does. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. But finally, after the mosquitoes had been there for several hours, and the stings had caused them pain through the night, and the children crying because of the stings of the mosquitoes, finally, as daylight began to burst forth, they saw coming up the river rescue ships. And the rescue ships got to them, and not a one of them from this particular village drowned as they held on all through the night in that raging river. And after they were safely on board the ship and the mosquito bites were treated, the people on board the ship, upon hearing their story, told them, do you know what saved your life? And they said, well, it was you coming to get us. They said, well, yeah, of course, in the end it was that. But they said, many of you were at the point where you were in dehydration and you were about to fall asleep. Had those mosquitoes not come to sting you, many of you would have fallen asleep and drowned in that river. Sometimes the way God does things is not how we would do it. But He's always there to give hope. A child of God should never be hopeless, because we have more than a message in tongues and interpretation, as great as that gift is, to fill our souls. We have the hope that comes from knowing the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty and He is alive. He is alive. Glory to God, He's alive. Don't you feel that reverberating through your soul this morning? He said, because I live, ye shall live also. All who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ have the hope of eternal life, have the promise of their sins being washed away, and have the glory of knowing that Christ is deposited in their very spirit in the person of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So sometimes when God does things, it's not going to be how we would like, but we must never lose hope, no matter what our situation. Because of the cross. Because of the cross. I don't want to put emphasis this morning, and I don't back down from saying this, on the resurrection. The resurrection and the cross are really one and the same. But there never would have been an empty tomb if there had first not been a cross. It is the cross is where sin was dealt with. It is at the cross where sin was defeated. It is at the cross where our redemption was purchased. And it's an empty tomb that proves what was done on the cross pleased God the Father. So we have, first of all, 1 Peter tells us, a lively hope. The hope you and I have in Christ this morning is a literal living hope, because the Bible tells us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, when faith is placed in what He did at the cross, God makes a deposit in you and I. He deposits the precious Holy Spirit into you and I. And the Holy Spirit is continually bearing witness that every promise Jesus Christ made is true. Now, let me stop for a moment and explain. Sounds kind of flowery and King James-ish-y. What is bearing witness? What does that mean? That means that once you express faith in Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and He deposits the Holy Spirit into you, for lack of a better way to say it, there's a little voice always on the inside of you now telling you your God is alive. Your sins are forgiven. You have hope. You have hope of eternal life. You have hope of His soon return. You have hope that your future is one that is absolutely glorious. But only those who know Jesus can have this hope. It's a terrible thing to live a life without hope. There was once a gentleman who worked on the large refrigerating units. I mean, a warehouse type, where they keep truckloads of ice cream, that had a problem with it. And they had to empty out all the ice cream and all the frozen goods out of it because he had to go in and fix it. They had turned the freezer completely off. And he, in going into work on it, the repairman, did not follow protocol as he properly should have. And the door locked behind him. But the refrigeration unit was off. He became frightened because in his mind, he believed strongly that he was going to freeze to death. They found him in the morning lying dead on the freezer floor. Even though the temperature of the freezer had not dropped below 55 degrees all night long. That's the power of belief, and it's the sorrow of having no hope. He felt he had no hope. And in his mind, he literally believed. It's a powerful thing what you believe in, is what I'm trying to illustrate. What you believe in has tremendous impact upon every part of your life and your being. Hence, if you have no hope in Christ, you're going to believe in something. And what you believe in is going to bring death if it's not Christ and Him crucified. That's why, to the non-believer, life is such a heavy, hard road. Because you're weighed down by sin. You're weighed down, just as the teens graphically illustrated this morning. And sin is a horrible, heavy weight to bear. It breaks the minds of human beings. I dare say that over 80% of the mental problems in the United States of America today are directly attributable to sin. Because of the heavy weight it places on the human mind, the degradation and the debilitation that it places on the human soul and spirit cannot be fathomed. We think we can deal with it, but we can't. But there is hope. I want to announce to you this morning, in speaking precisely of the resurrection, I want you to know I've not come to try to convince you of the resurrection. I've come to declare the fact of the resurrection to you today. It is a reality. It has been proven over and over again as millions have tried to prove that it did not happen. The evidence is overwhelming that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. That means that Christ is everything He said He was. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the sin bearer. He is the sin deliverer. Only in His blood, through His precious blood, can mankind be set free from the horrible debilitation that sin causes to the human soul and spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what's your situation. You may feel you have no hope at all, but there is a living hope in Jesus Christ. He is your answer. I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how much you do drugs. I don't care how much lust has taken over your life. If you'll come to Jesus, He has complete power and authority to deliver you in totality. And He is the only one who can do it. Give Him a hand of praise today. The word hope in Greek, the word is elpis. And it means a confident expectancy of a pleasurable desired end. So therefore, when 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Hallelujah. We know that to be true. Because the Spirit is bearing witness with us continually. We have this living hope. Believer, don't turn your hope to this world in any capacity. Don't turn your hope, unbeliever, anyone, don't turn your hope to this world. For everything in this world is one day going to pass and burn and be totally worthless. That's what makes the Christian life so joyous. That's what makes it celebratory when we come together every Sunday, and especially on Easter. We have a reason to celebrate, for we have the surest hope there is known in the universe. We have the hope that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, has resurrected from the grave, is seated at the right hand of the Father, is coming again in great power and glory, and we as His saints are going to rule and reign with Him on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus. So not only is it a lively hope, but the Bible says it's a blessed hope. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Paul was writing about a situation in the Thessalonica, where when they would bury a person, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they would write on their grave, "No hope." They would put that on the tombstone, "No hope." And Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica to remind them of the living hope we possess in Jesus Christ. He said, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant that you sorrow as others who have no hope." Paul, elucidating further on this very same thought in 1 Corinthians 15, says that we have the hope of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. That is our glorious hope. That is our blessed hope, that we can look forward to the day when we're going to receive a glorified body that'll never wear out, that'll never grow old, that'll never tire. We're going to live and reign with Jesus Christ in the portals of glory. Hence, again, we have what Peter described as a living hope. We have what Paul described as a blessed hope. It is blessed because we have the surety, the greatest surety and assurance, that every word of Jesus Christ is true and it's going to come to pass exactly as He said it would. That should give us great joy this morning to know that. Not only is it a living hope and a blessed hope, it is a purifying hope. I want you to look with me. If I'll find the scripture here just a moment, please bear with me. 1 John 3 and 3 says that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Not only is it a blessed hope, not only is it a living hope, it's a purifying hope we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What on earth does that mean? Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It means when you have the hope of the resurrection in you, the hope of you being resurrected, that means something. That means you have the Holy Spirit indwelling your heart and life. Hence, the only way a person can have the Holy Spirit indwell their heart and life is if the blood of Jesus has been applied to their life and every sin washed away. That's how we're purified before God. That's the only way to be pure before God, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Every man who has this hope purifieth himself. And the word there in the Greek is hagizo, and it means a constant cleansing. Glory to God. That's the power of keeping your faith in Jesus Christ. If you could stand continually under a beautiful, crystal clear waterfall, you'd never have to take a bath because you're constantly being cleansed. So it is to the individual who has their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are constantly being cleansed by that precious blood of Christ. It never stops its holy work in our lives. And it has to be, because we're always sinning. I hate to say something like that. It ain't going to make nobody say amen. But I'm not talking about sin as a lifestyle, but I'm talking about every day, every week, we fail God still in some form or fashion. We need that purifying hope. Without that purifying hope, there is no hope. But that's why Peter or John said it this way: every man who has this hope, If you have the hope, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to you that you are God's child and that you are pure and holy before Jesus Christ because of His shed blood. Hallelujah. There's no hopeless case with God. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. There is no hopeless case with God. You may think your sin has become too great. And I got to be honest with you. I feel my words are so feeble right now because the Holy Ghost is dealing heavily with some. Help me, Lord. Help me to preach it right, Father. Sin is nothing to play with. Its debaucherous, debilitating effects cripple every part of us as human beings. It puts such a tremendous weight on the human spirit that it literally breaks it in two unless Jesus Christ can get to that person. As they did the skit that touched my soul, touched my spirit this morning, did you see how Jesus patiently stood there that whole time as the young lady went into sin after sin after sin? There's a song written years ago that rolled through my mind as I thought about that, and it took me back to my own life before Christ. Gary something was a brother's name that wrote it. I forget his last name, but it went something like this. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Time after time, I went looking for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my guilt on that world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. But all the while someone was waiting to free me from my sin. There's no hopeless case with God. I don't care how great your sin this morning. I don't care how heavy you may feel because of its terrible effects on your life and spirit. There's hope for you in Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus is your answer. Jesus can deliver you. He and He alone can deliver you from sin and take that heavy load. He bore it that day on the cross. You think, why do you Christians? Why do you all at Crossway Community Church carry on so about the cross? My Lord, that's the most ignorant question anybody could ever ask. It shows a total, complete lack of understanding of who Jesus is and what He did on the cross. For it's only on the cross sin can be washed away. It's only on the cross the penalty for sin is paid. It's only on the cross we're delivered from sin. It's only through what He did on the cross that we're made righteous and holy and pure before Almighty God. That's why we focus on the cross, because the Bible focuses on the cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is your answer. And there is enough power in what He did to deliver anybody from sin if they'll come to Him. And He'll take that heavy weight off. He's waiting for you. I want you to think of that this morning. The Lord of glory is waiting for you. He loves you. He stands patiently by as we go down every avenue as humans we can go down to try to assuage the guilt that's plaguing our souls, and we find no relief from it. We find no relief from it in alcohol. We find no relief from it in drugs. We find no relief from it in inordinate sexual relationships. We find no relief from it in power and position and money and wealth. He's waiting for you today. He loves you, and you're not hopeless. You may feel the enemy of your soul may have told you you're hopeless. Friends may have told you you're hopeless, but Jesus Christ wants you to know this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants you to know, you are not hopeless because there is a living hope in Jesus Christ. There is a purifying hope in Jesus Christ. There is a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. In Christ and Christ alone is there hope for humanity and for every soul that lives and breathes. Years ago, there was a German folklore story that was told of a man named Faust, whose name literally means lucky. The story goes that Mr. Faust became very wealthy and he set out to find true fulfillment in life. He exhausted all of his wealth seeking worldly pleasures. Finally, everything he sought after, he could have anything he wanted, could buy anything he wanted. And he spent it all trying to find peace in his soul and pleasure in this life. Where finally one day he was at the end of his rope. And it is folklore, I want to stress that, but you'll know where I'm going with it in just a moment. The story is told that finally Satan appeared to him and said, I can give you what you're looking for. I'll give you 7 years of a perfect, fulfilled life in exchange for your eternal soul. Now, Faust was claimed to be a chess master. And so he told the devil, let's play a game of chess. And if you beat me, I'll take your offer. I'll take 7 years of the complete fulfillment you say you can give, and I'll give you my soul if you beat me. They sat down to play the game. Now here's what I want to bring out to you. Don't know the outcome of that story because it's fictitious in nature. But a German painter by the name of Gottsched heard the story. And he was a brilliant chess master himself and also a renowned artist. So that he painted a picture based upon the story of Faust and the deal with the devil. It hangs today in the vaunted Louvre in Paris, France. It's a renowned work of art. But in the portrait, it shows Faust and the chessboard with all of the remaining pieces on it. And it shows on the other side of the table a well-dressed, sneering, sinister-looking man who is Satan, staring down at the board with a grin as Faust has his head in his hand, struggling to find a way to move that he might win the game because he's about to lose it. Now, I'm not much of a chess player. It's far too cerebral for me. You know, I'm more of a checkers guy. But so excuse me if I mess something up in the details of this chess match. But in any event, the portrait clearly shows Faust in distress. It shows the chessboard clearly with all of the pieces on it arranged in a fashion that would indicate that Faust was about to lose the match. He had no move left, in other words. I guess there is a point in chess you come to where if you have no other moves, it's called a checkmate and the other person wins the game. It hung in the Louvre in Paris, this portrait did, for hundreds of years with millions of people walking by to look upon it. When finally one day, Bobby Fischer, the American chess champion who was renowned in the 70s, when he was playing Boris Spassky for the World Chess Championship, he visited the Louvre. He wanted to see this painting. And Bobby Fischer, who was a chess master himself, stood there looking at the painting. He stared at it for several minutes. He looked at Faust's distraught look. He saw the pieces on the chessboard, of which he himself was a genius at. And he noticed Satan sneer as if to holler across the board at Faust, checkmate, you're beaten. But as Fischer studied the board, he himself, being a shy man and not prone to much public display, could not help but shout out what he realized on the painting. He shouted to the crowd that was around him, the king has another move. And sure enough, please excuse me for not knowing my chess, but Fischer came up with a move in looking at the painting that if Faust would move the king one spot in a certain direction, it would give Faust the game. What am I telling you? The king always has another move. Praise God, the king's name is Jesus Christ. And I don't care how badly your life has been beaten down. I don't care how hopeless you may seem today. I've got news to declare unto you today from the crown of heaven. The King has another move. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Your sin has not daunted Jesus Christ. Your hopelessness has not daunted Him, for there is hope in Him. That's why we shout on Easter Sunday morning. That's why we shout in this church every time we get together. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we come to say so. Glory to God. And I don't care what situation, either believer or non-believer, you find yourself in, the King has always got another move. Praise the Lord. The King has always got another move. Just like the story of the missionaries and the villagers. They thought it was hopeless. And I don't know why God does it this way. But now, if you were God, recanting that story for just a minute, or not recanting it, but recalling it for just a minute, wouldn't you have delivered those people? I would, if it was me and they're crying out to me and I'm God, I'd have stopped the river right there. But God's ways are not our ways. He answered with a swarm of mosquitoes. I'm telling you, no matter what situation you find yourself in, never forget, believer, you always have hope. You have a purifying hope. You have a blessed hope. You have a living hope because of that empty tomb in Jerusalem. Because it says forevermore that Jesus Christ is alive. And you have a more sure hope even than an empty tomb, because the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in your life. And He is continually bearing witness to you. In other words, telling you, yes, you're God's child. Yes, Jesus is coming again. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah! The King always has another move. Praise God. You see, at the cross, Satan didn't know any better. He thought, I've defeated God. When Jesus bowed His head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was precisely the time of the evening sacrifice under the Levitical law, He said, it's finished. It's finished. Satan thought, I've defeated the Son of God. But the King had another move. 3 days and three nights He lay in that tomb. And then early one Sunday morning, the Spirit of God came back into the body of Jesus Christ. And God raised Him from the dead because He lived a perfect life. He met all of God's standards. He met all of God's righteousness. And He was perfect. Therefore, God could raise Him from the dead. And because He lives, you and I can live also. I want to tell you something in closing. We're the walking dead until we give our life to Christ. There is no real life in anybody until they give their life over to Jesus Christ. It's only then can we have an unfailing, unflappable hope. Only then can you have it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. In other words, what does that mean, Pastor? That means that if all we have is the hope of Christ here and now, and then we die and it's all over, what kind of hope is that? He said, if we have hope in this life only, that's no good. But He went on to say in that great 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For this mortality is going to put on immortality. Corruption is going to put on incorruption. Praise the Lord. We have hope, children of God, this morning. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And never let the enemy convince you ever your situation is hopeless, whether you be sinner or saint, whether you be with Christ or without Christ, you always have hope in Him. There's always hope in Him because the King, praise God, always has another move. Would you give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. praise you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus now. Do what only you can do. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Are you hopeless this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you the question. Do you feel like your life has become hopeless? Have you lived in sin for so long, it's weighed you down and it's nearly broken you? And it will. It will, friend. Hear this preacher this morning. And I want to say this. Religion will not deliver you from sin. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Religion will not deliver you from sin. What do you mean? I mean, going to church in and of itself does not make you a born-again believer. If your faith is not in the cross of Christ and what He did for you, you can never be made right with God. You can even be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, whatever. It matters not. If your faith is not in Christ and what He did for you on the cross, you're not right with God. You're in sin, and it's going to break you. And you can try to cover it over with the veneer of religion and religious exercises. But you know in your soul you're bound. You know in your soul you're heavy. You know in your soul you're carrying such a horrendous weight that it's literally almost breaking your mind and your spirit. You need Jesus. You need a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me be more specific. You need to place your faith exclusively in what He did for you on the cross. That's the only thing that will deliver from sin and break sin's power over an individual's life. So there's hope for you this morning. The King's got another move for you today. He's standing waiting for you. The Lord of glory who went to the cross is waiting for you today if you have no hope. And you'll never have life outside of Him. You're the walking dead until you give your life to Jesus Christ. Only then can the new birth take place and we be made a new creature in Christ. And God has the power to do what I'm preaching to you today. And God alone can do it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit, I feel Him telling me, give me a moment. I want you to ponder some of the things we've talked about, and I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Don't turn Him away. He's offering you Christ. The Holy Spirit right now is showing you your need for Christ. He's showing you the necessity of placing your faith in what Christ did for you at the cross if you want delivered from sin and sin's power. And He can do it. He will do it. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The Savior's waiting on you right now. He's waiting patiently for you. And if you'll indicate to Him that you want to give your life to Him, He'll come running to meet you. And He alone will deliver you from sin and sin's power. You can't do it by going to a 12-step program. There's no help there. There's no help in a psychologist's couch. You need Jesus. He alone can set you free from the horror of sin. Are there any here today who would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life to Christ. Would you slip up a hand right now? Or else I'm tired of religion. It's not working for me and I know it. Are there any at all? I need to give my life to Christ. I'm tired. I'm heavy laden. I'm about to break and I feel hopeless. The King has got another move for you today. There's hope in Jesus Christ if you want to come to Him. Are there any at all? Any at all? Praise the Lord. Then saints of God, right where we stand this morning, I want to put you in remembrance of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. No matter what our situation in this life, we're never hopeless. We're never hopeless because the Holy Spirit gives us a living hope. He gives us a blessed hope, and He gives us a purifying hope. Those are the things the Holy Spirit will be continually reminding us of. And some of you, under the sound of my voice this morning, you identified with that story I told about the missionaries and that little village. And maybe you've been holding on for a long time, and the tribulations have been rushing in your life like that river, and as you've cried out to God, nothing has changed. Sometimes it may seem that things even got worse. But you have hope in Him. Never let go of your hope in Jesus Christ. That will carry you through anything, because God has promised He will deliver you. I can't tell you how and I can't tell you when, but He said every man who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Your hope in Christ, you possessing a hope in Christ, means your faith has been placed in what He did for you at the cross, and that you have inherited all of God's blessings. That's why 1 Peter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5 tell us that you have reserved for you, child of God, an inheritance in heaven that is incorruptible, unchangeable. It's going to be there. It's a surety. It's a promise. I'm speaking to believers now. Somebody needs to hear this. The Bible tells us that the Lord has sealed us and given us the earnest of His Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Earnest, in the context in which it was used in the Word, whenever a land transaction was going to take place, the one who was selling the property would take a scoop of dirt off of the land and put it into a bag. And when the transaction was completed and the money exchanged, they would give that bag of dirt to the new property owner. It was the earnest. It was there to prove that all the property is yours now. Even though you haven't walked on it yet and you haven't received it, this is the earnest. Believer, never forget, God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means when we were born again, He took of His Holy Spirit and made a deposit of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives as an earnest, as a down payment. On everything I've said is yours, you're going to get one day. And believer, I close with one of my favorite scriptures, John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You have hope, child of God. And the King always has another move for you. Give Him praise and glory today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you that you're coming again. Thank you for the promise of eternal life and the hope of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been an honor to have you in service today. And if you're visiting with us, we're honored to have you. I pray you've been blessed by the Word of God. We love you, but more importantly, Jesus Christ loves you, and He is your answer. You'll hear pretty much every Sunday what you heard today. The messages will change, but at the heart of every one of them will be Christ and Him crucified, because that's the heart of this holy book, and that's what we adhere to in this congregation. God bless you so very much. Austin, I'm going to ask you if you would come, dismiss us in prayer, and you have a wonderful rest of the day with your families. But first, Chris has got an announcement he needs to make.
Amen. Hasn't it been good to be in God's house this morning? I just want to let you first thank you for all who participated in the fundraisers we had a few weeks ago. If you purchased Easter lilies, they're displayed up on the stage, and there's some out in the foyer. Only the purple wrapping is that one. If you have questions or forgot how many you purchased or whatever, I've got that information. So please feel free to take those on your way out. Also, our next fundraiser will be in 2 weeks on Sunday the 26th. I think there might be a typo in the bulletin. But if you have any questions about that, we'll be talking about it in the next few weeks, and the youth will again be out advertising for that and looking for you to purchase tickets for the for that event. This one will be a chicken dinner and potatoes and green beans and things like that. So again, that's in 2 weeks right after service, just like we did it before. And again, we thank you for participating in that and helping the youth go to youth camp. Austin?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the wonderful service my Father has prepared for us, and we ask you to let everyone have a nice rest of the day, and we ask that you will bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.